Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, start from the very beginning and watch in the present day, too. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about Season 45, Drop the Four, Keep the Five, Episode 6. I'm not Batman. I'm the Canadian.
I'm not Batman. This is one of the first, this is like really jumping in the head of the episode, but that's not the quote. Like that is like of the quote.
Yeah. They do that sometimes.
I feel like not quite this directly. I was surprised, but we'll get there. Because that goes like at the end of the episode. So
I've got some things I pulled from Reddit. They're mostly visual, so it might not work the best for the podcast, but I'll kind of describe them. I'll let Patrick see them, but listeners will just have to listen to my descriptions. One was
a Do you want me to describe them?
One is a picture from Twitter that Eliza
posted an hour ago
of like Jeff partying it up at Ponderosa with some of the contestants. I mostly am sharing this because it's from the Vanuatu season, which is what we have ranked as the number one season. And I always try to highlight it whenever I can because I feel like nobody ever mentions it. And it is Jeff dancing with Eliza and Julie and Leanne.
Saying dancing is like not doing this justice.
Yeah, Eliza's grinding up on him, and he's kind of grinding up on Julie.
Like a grind train between Julie and Eliza, and Leanne is kind of just like sipping a beer, hanging out.
It's particularly fun because I feel like we don't see Jeff have fun ever. Like he enjoys being on Survivor and like running Survivor, but we don't see him like out of character.
Yes, I agree. I also would guess that he does not do this kind of thing anymore. Like, I would
at least not with cameras around.
Yeah, that's true. But like, but yeah. I feel like people would mention like, oh yeah, Jeff showed up at Ponderosa and hung out with us or something. Potentially because of this, because we know that he and Julie end up dating.
Right.
And I wonder if producers were like, nah, because I think this was before he was a producer also.
Mm. Another footage I found was related to the stick bug dancing this episode. Which is this, the meme of, it's like a guy standing in a corner at a party who's saying like, they don't know blank, which I usually don't find like that funny of a meme, but this one is that guy saying they don't know they should be strategizing, and it's everybody at the party just going stick, bug, oomps, which is very fun.
It was very, we will get to that point of this episode, but that is like almost exactly what happens in the episode.
Yeah. Next was just a still somebody posted from the episode with the subtitles of a nice beach shot with nobody around, but with the subtitle still on the screen of "She took my sandwich," which has strong vibes of a like Thanksgiving or post Thanksgiving Friends episode when Ross has a sandwich with a moist maker in it that gets stolen, and it has him yelling about his sandwich.
Last episode, Austin said that he was going to be like, he wanted revenge on his sandwich, and it is maybe my favorite thing that I've seen on Survivor that like that is continuing, and it is a thread that I think will continue.
I hope so.
It is my favorite thing. It has like hugely burst Austin into one of my favorite people.
Yeah, so with that, somebody else posted a picture from John Wick of John Wick greeting his new puppy the first time, except it is Austin greeting the sandwich, and his sandwich got stolen, and he's out for revenge, just like John Wick was after they killed his dog.
Spoilers.
That's pretty early in John Wick 1. That's what sets off the franchise.
I didn't know that.
That's like the whole premise of the first one is these guys break in and kill his dog, and so he goes on a rampage. That I mean, it's pretty loaded.
I did know that actually, but
the dog is a gift from his.
This when I saw it.
The dog is a gift from his wife who died, and knew that he would need companionship, and so after her death, he is gifted with this dog from his wife, and so it has a lot of sentimentality. And so when some people break in and kill it, doesn't go well for them
because he doesn't have his companion anymore.
That's right. He gets another dog later. All right. Oh, I have one more thing that's not visual. Well, it is technically visual, so I guess I could have you watch it. But I'm gonna make sure the audio is shared so people can hear the audio. It is a clip from preseason interviews of J. Maya, talking about like her hot take or opinion of survivor stress, survivor something. And this is what she had to say.
See, a season where Shot in the Dark had better odds, because I think the spirit of Shot in the Dark is really cool and that you can't predict for it. So as a tribe, you have to have a, you know, go-to plan and then a backup plan. Otherwise, you and your alliance might get screwed. But I think that would be actually more exacerbated and it'd be cooler to watch if the person playing their Shot in the Dark had more of a chance of actually, you know, using it. So that's one of my hot takes. I brought that up with some other survivor watchers and I think they've all been like, no, we don't really like Shot in the Dark to begin with. I'm like, no, it's a great concept, but you need to lean into it more.
That is rough.
Yeah.
Listeners, we've said this before. I'm not sure why you would listen to this podcast without having seen the episode, but like, J. Maya's got to get screwed by Shot in the Dark in this episode. So that's why that is rough.
Yeah. So let's start at the beginning of the episode and lead our way up to that happening. We start the night after last episode's Tribal Council in Bello, where Emily tells Kendra that they would have told her about voting out Brando, but they didn't want him to find out. Emily, in a confessional, says that she finally like feels good for having been like really part of a vote. And Kendra says she doesn't normally allow pettiness in her life, but she's on Survivor, and so she can let that like petty demon seep in.
Yeah, I was very intrigued by this because Emily also was like, yeah, like Kendra's being very like gracious about this. She's like, or Kendra was being like, yeah, no, like I get it. Emily was like, you're not on the bottom. Like, don't think that. We just were afraid that you would tell Brando. And Kendra's like, yeah, no, that's like, you guys made a good move. That makes sense. Yada, yada, yada. Which, after Sabaya left like three episodes ago, Sean did like the same thing. And Emily was like, nah, fuck that. He's bitter. Like, I don't believe him. He must not be genuine. But Emily doesn't seem to feel that way about Kendra. So I was confused.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, when we talked about it when Sean left, I think we mentioned that it might have been that it wasn't just at that moment. It's like he never seemed genuine around camp and would just say like what maybe he thought people would agree with or something like that. And so Kendra doesn't seem that type of person. And so it probably didn't bother her so much.
That's fair, because Kendra does typically just say whatever is on her mind all the time. So maybe this seemed more believable. Yeah.
We bounce to Lulu, day 12. This whole episode takes place on day 12 and 13, which it feels like so much happens in those 2 days. Day 12, Bruce and Caleb and Jake and everyone are searching for an idol around the woods where Sabaya found hers. They don't find an idol at first, but they do find a snake, which is fun. Bruce finds, which they must not, I wonder if that doesn't cross their mind or if they're not allowed to or they're just scared of it. They don't ever talk about eating the snake. We've seen people eat snakes on Survivor before.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I feel like usually when they eat the snakes, they're like much larger than that. So maybe it's not worth it for...
I mean, any protein's better than no protein. I mean, like more than like a worm or something. But they did seem kind of, I don't know, slightly scared of it. So maybe that factored in. Or they maybe just can't kill certain species of snakes or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Bruce finds and opens a beware advantage. He can't vote. It's the same deal as before. It is only like a one-step process this time that says it is buried under the center of shelter. And so Kelly, Jake, and Caleb all are with him when he finds it, and they run to camp to dig while Keturah is somewhere else idol hunting. Jake pretends to have lost one of his rings, so that way they have an excuse to like dig around camp, which is not does not prove to be fruitful here, but while they're doing this, a boat shows up and says that they have 10 minutes to collect their things and they're getting moved to another camp. And so Bruce frantically does some more digging during that time and finds the idol. And so he has a full idol.
I was so disappointed by this.
that he got an idol
coming. I was like, this would be so amazing if he like just found this beware advantage and then does not have time to get the idol and yeah. just like has to leave without the idol and so doesn't have a vote anymore. That would be so fun.
Brought up on Jeff's podcast that if that had happened, he would have got his vote back after this episode, because it says like until the merge, and so after this episode they will be officially merged, and so he would have had his vote restored.
Yes, but that means that he wouldn't have been able to vote this episode,
right?
Which I just would have loved. Like it, I don't think it would have mattered. It might have mattered because
he might not have rallied the troops. Yeah,
Bruce really rallies people later on this episode, and he might not have done that if he didn't have a vote. But
yeah, so they gather up their stuff and get on their boat on Reba. We don't really see the boat. I guess I didn't take any notes for the boat coming for Bello. I don't even know if they do show us for that.
It's not much.
On Reba, they just get a note that people are coming to their camp. So Jay is like, hey, let's write a message in the sand. Does anybody want to help? And Julie's like, I don't want to spend the energy on that. So Jay goes and does it herself and writes a nice big welcome in the sand, which is a nice gesture.
It is. It was, looking back on it, I was like, oh man, they're really showing us how just like nice and gentle Jay is right before she gets demolished in this episode. Mm-hmm. Poor girl.
So we just get a lot of time on the Reba beach with everybody arriving and joining, talking to each other, bouncing around. The original Reba is glad to be back together. Emily talks to Bruce and says that she needs to apologize for how she like came at him in the first episode. Caleb is glad to be back with Emily. Dee tells them that they've got fish for everybody, so that way they can have a little bit of a like merged camp feast of fish, which Bruce celebrates by being like, we need to build shelter right away. We need to get to work. Kendra fills Bruce in on Emily joining Drew and Austin. Austin says she took my sandwich, telling Julie and Dee about this, and he's mad at Kelly and Jay for him not getting a sandwich. And because of that, the Reba core four of Austin, Julie, Dee, and Drew are like gunning for Jay Maya immediately. We get a little bit of a reprieve from all the strategy as there is a stick bug dancing on a lock.
Yeah. And they do a little music for it and dances. And at this point, Drew and Austin are kind of like off strategizing, and they hear everybody chanting for the stick bug, which is this meme that Chris mentioned earlier. It was a very fun moment. This was very much like if this episode wasn't 90 minutes, I don't think we would have gotten this really fun moment of the stick bug.
I was surprised when they were very loudly chanting and at the stick bug while Austin and Drew were talking, and they could hear it happening, but they didn't really seem that like I feel like if I heard very loud like cheering, chanting coming from like camp, I'd be like, what's going on? Like, is another boat showing up? Like, what's happening? I would like want to rush back in here. And they were just like, let's just keep talking strategy.
Yeah, or like, I want to be part of this bonding moment with people. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, they're so distracted they won't realize that we're talking.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, I agree with you. I would have wanted to go join that crew.
We head to day 13, where it is pouring down rain. They're trying to do some work, build shelter. Caleb and Emily do some catching up. Emily fills Caleb in on her Reba connection, and Caleb fills Emily in on his Bello connection. They kind of seem to be leaning on allying with Reba over Bello. At this point, at least that's how I kind of interpreted it.
They also, though, both talk about how, like, because they have connections on both sides, they are hoping to kind of be able to play both sides a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With the rain, there's a whole thing of Sifu talking about how much he loves it when it rains. He loves hanging out when it's pouring rain. And he's, like, not talking in a confessional. He's talking to the other people, and they are like, no, we fucking hate this. No, this is terrible. What the fuck are you talking about? And I was just like, this is rough. Why is he like, I feel like there's a lot of social capital made from like that commiserating through mm-hmm. that. And he's just like, nah, it's great. And I'm like, I would hate you.
Yeah, it's like one thing to try to put a positive spin on it, but then once you can see like immediately that everybody's like, no, like we're going to be upset about this, then you got to like switch that off and just go with it.
Right, exactly.
We find out that, or we get some stuff from Bruce, how he is worried that nobody's talking to him. He is not going out to talk to anybody else, but he's worried nobody's talking to him.
And in fact, he tells like four or five different people that no one is talking to him. And I was like, talking to you. I don't know what you want. Yeah. What are you talking about? They're talking to you enough for you to complain that they're not talking to you.
Yeah. And he has like a little bit of a old school mentality of like, he sees some of his Bellow people talking to non-Bellow people. And he's like, no, we should just like stay Bellow. We don't need to socialize with the others. And it's like, no, you got to really talk to everybody. You got to have that social game with everybody. He mostly notices Caleb talking to everybody. And so he's like, Caleb's got to go. During this, because some of this he's talking to Kelly, I notice Kelly has very pretty greenish blue eyes. I was just like, wow.
Kelly and I noticed that. We were like, whoa, how have we never noticed her eyes before?
Yeah.
They were like wow. So bright in this episode. It was mm-hmm. wild.
Very pretty eyes. We head to the challenge where there's going to be two groups of six competing with one person left out who will have to choose which team they think will win. Each team has to crawl under a muddy net, push a heavy cart across a field collecting sandbags, climb the bags to the top of a tower to get keys, slide down, and then climb a big ball up to a two-part puzzle where the prize is a merge buff, a meal, and immunity. And the losing team will be not immune at Tribal Council, where all 13 people will be at Tribal Council.
So I wanted to talk to you about this, the whole mergatory thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I hate it as much as some people hate it, but I just think it could be better. And one of my frustrations with it happens in this episode, where when it is entirely random splitting between these two groups, it's like I knew right away that the blue team was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a very physical challenge, and it was like the vast majority of the like physically strong people were on blue. Red did much better than I expected them to, but like mm-hmm. blue demolished this challenge.
Yeah.
And I saw someone mention online of how they never do like schoolyard picks anymore, like they do in old Survivor.
Yeah, Tyson talked about that on his podcast too.
Oh, yeah, that might have been one of the ways that I heard about this. I think I like the idea of doing it just like they do it, where half the team is immune or whatever, but they draw rocks, and it's like two of the rocks are for captains, and then they do the schoolyard pick of the two teams instead. Mm-hmm. And I think that would end up being more interesting. Because, like, you might just be like, oh, I just want to pick all of my same, like, I'm a Reba, I'm going to pick all my Reba people. But that means that if you lose, all of your Reba people are in danger, and you're giving the other tribe all the power.
Right.
And so there is an interesting, like, maybe we want a mix of people on both tribes anyway. Or you can, it would not be as easy in with, like, the swap tribes. But sometimes they've done it before where, like, you have to pick from the other tribe or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think that would help, or if they adjusted the challenge, like this was a very physical one, like the cart and the sandbags were like extra heavy, and then the puzzle, even though it was a two-part puzzle, I think was one of the easier puzzles they've had this season. Like it wasn't as many pieces to put together, and they were easier to like see how they go together. So I think that balance was off. It was like too physical, less puzzle, because if it was a harder puzzle, I think the losing team had a chance to come back, because the blue team did not have the most like puzzly people on it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I also could see it being like, and maybe this wouldn't really be fair either, but like an individual challenge that is just like the top six people are safe. Even if it's like a endurance challenge, and it's just like the first seven people who are out on this are up for elimination or something.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Or they've done it before when it's like legs, and it's like the top 8 people to make it through the first leg, advance to the second leg, and then the top so many from that advance to the next leg. Like they could do something like that. I do like at least the
fully randomness of it. I don't love.
Yeah, I agree. It is. I do like that Keturah has to choose. It's not like I don't like, or that she's not like sent away. She has to pick like which one she thinks would win. She made the right choice, picked the correct one. So that blue team leads through everything and gets the win pretty decisively. So we get some time at the merge feast, where one of the things that I thought was sucked was they have to go to this feast just still completely covered in mud. They don't get like a chance to wash first. They're just like faces, bodies covered in mud while they're eating, which, I mean, they're just so hungry. They don't care, seem to care, but it would be nice if they got a chance to rinse too. Sifu seems to be the first one to bring up strategy talk. He says Jay Maya is the top of his list because he thinks that she voted for him. The others kind of tend to agree with Jay Maya. Julie mentions Caleb and Emily are the only two Lulu, and so they could be like safe votes to get rid of. Kendra mentions that Caleb is a threat. And then we get a lot of time back at camp before tribal council. Jake says, if I had to describe my situation in one word, it would be ah. Which I like.
I love Jake.
Mm-hmm.
I love most of this cast, to be fair, but like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Jake. He's very endearing to me.
Mm-hmm. Jay Maya wants to protect Reba. D tells Jake that she wants to go for Jay Maya, and he's cool with that. She tells Caleb this. Jake takes the information to Kelly. Keturah talks with Kendra and Kelly that they want to go for Jay Maya. Kendra's like, yeah, but Bruce wants Caleb. And Keturah says Bruce is stupid.
Yeah.
Bruce does some more work trying to whip up Caleb votes. Drew is cool with this. He also, I think, views Caleb as a threat, so he's happy to see him go, and views Caleb as being like more on the Bello side than the Reba side, so that's always good for him to go to. We get a lot more of Austin being dead set on Jay Maya because of the sandwich. They tell Emily the plan to go for Caleb, and she's trying to convince them not to, but doesn't want to target herself too much and like push, like try to save him too hard.
This has a really fascinating point where she's like, look, if we save Caleb right now, he'll be indebted to us forever. And who was it? Kendra, I think, says like, that's not how Survivor works. And Emily's like, no, that's exactly how Survivor works, which I thought was very funny because like Emily is indebted to Caleb because Caleb saved her. Like, mm-hmm. Emily's like, no, here's the deal. I've been to more tribals than you. This is fucking how Survivor works.
Right.
This is why I'm trying to save Caleb right now, is because I'm indebted to
him. Yeah. Yeah, it was just interesting to see her be like, I don't want you all to vote for Caleb, but I can't like push for it that hard because I don't have very much leverage.
And they could just turn into voting for her because
she's exactly. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Caleb starts telling others that Bruce has the idol. He tells the Reba guys this to try to gain their trust so they don't vote for him. And so we head to tribal council with it. What we've seen split between like either Caleb or Jay Maya. Caleb, I mean, they talk a little bit, and then what really gets things going is Caleb's like, so I might be a threat. I might be a big threat here, but I'm not the biggest threat. And I don't remember, is it if it's Jay Maya who asks who it is, or somebody asks who, and he says, well, Jay Maya. And he also mentions D, Julie, and Jay Maya being like a voting block and that being a threat, which in my time in my notes, I was like, this is like mildly kind of being an open tribal council because they're like, just kind of openly having a discussion. But then, because I was going to ask you, like, does this count as being like open tribal? But it didn't matter because later there ended up being an actual open tribal time.
Oh, yeah. I would not have counted what's happening, what you're describing now. I would not have counted it as an open tribal.
Yeah.
I think that it doesn't count as an open tribal in my mind unless they stand up.
Okay. And so this was, I think, like, Caleb just knew he was screwed. And so this was, like, some last-ditch effort to be, like, please, somebody else. But, man, this really looked bad for him.
Yeah, I have a theory that, like, he knew he was leaving. Like, I don't think he was trying. I think that he knew he was leaving and knew he was going to play a shot in the dark. And so he was, like, he knew that his only chance was shot in the dark coming up safe. But if it did, this makes him look bad and makes him look less of a threat later. Like saying that you're a big threat lowers his threat level.
Yeah.
Because other people will be like, okay, well, clearly we can get him later. Like he's not a priority right now.
Yeah, it takes him a little off the radar.
And it's like they're so scared of a social game and him saying, like, him being so ostentatious about this, I think makes him look bad socially. And so he's like kind of trying to like save himself down the line.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
Save Emily because like they were, there was a lot of talk about like, do we split this vote or not? And I think it's like, okay, yeah, no, we're fucking voting for Caleb. And so they're not going to throw a vote onto someone else that he might not want gone.
Right. Drew closes tribal council discussion by saying something like, I'm seeing some big swings and we're all wondering if they're home runs or strikeouts. And everybody's like, damn, that was a good line.
That he clearly had practiced for months.
And oh, yeah.
Also would have been remembered way more if like the rest of this tribal council didn't happen.
Yeah. It was like, just funny to see like that somebody
line is gonna get real overshadowed in the history of Survivor Drew.
Yeah. So when we get a little bit of the voting, Austin sacrifices his vote to extend his idol to a full idol now. Caleb plays a shot in the and then we actually don't see during voting him play the shot in the dark, I don't think. But
we
when
don't.
When Jeff's about to do the reveal, he asks if anybody has an advantage or
When Caleb is walking up to vote,
he shouts out
Jay as if he's writing down Jay Maya's name so that everyone can hear him writing down Jay's name, which is very funny.
I thought it was obnoxious. I thought he was being, I do not like Caleb the rest of this episode. Like, I understand he's very excited by, so he reveals he played the shot in the dark, Jeff opens it and he is safe. And then from here on out, he's just like giddy and so happy. And I think it just seeing like Jay Maya look devastated because she knows that means she's screwed. It was just like a tough look for me to be like, all right, Caleb, you got to like read the room and just like chill for a minute, like save your excitement.
Oh, I also agree with you that that was rough to watch, but like, I don't blame Caleb for that. I blame everybody else for that because like, I think Caleb has every right to be like giddy and relieved because he was convinced he was walking out the door and was saved in this wild way. But like, everyone else is also like really hype and excited of like, oh my god, this is amazing, and you're just watching Jay Maya be crushed.
Yeah.
And like, I think that everybody else maybe needed to read that a little bit, but I don't blame Caleb for being happy that he was safe here.
Yeah, the vote reveal before the revote was nuts. It was just Caleb. 11 straight votes for Caleb, no other votes. And so none of them count at all, which sets a new Survivor record based off what the internet has said.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a revote. Caleb can't vote because he sacrificed his vote for the shot in the dark, but nobody can vote for Caleb. And so they have some open tribal discussion. Basically, everybody's like going Jay Maya, but Jay Maya is going around telling everybody like Emily. So they go revote and Jay Maya is gone 10-1, which is a votigami of unlike several levels. There's never been a 10-1. There's never been a like zero votes that came from 11 votes, and there's never been the combo of like all of that happening at once. So
this is
a big time.
Yeah, there probably had never been an 11-0 either.
No, there's never been, nobody's ever received more than 9 votes.
Oh wow.
There's been like tribal councils this big, like there's been 13 person tribal councils and like 13 votes cast, but never like the unanimous one. So nobody's ever received more than 9 until, well, I guess that the way I have this sorted only shows like the initial vote. So if on a revote, there is more than 9, that's possible, I guess. But yeah, so my thought, I have a Survivor trivia question for you that I didn't know the answer to. And I had to look up was, do you think there's ever in any of the seasons we've watched? So we've watched what, 1 through 17, 18?
Yeah. 17.
Has there been anybody who didn't like quit or been medevaced? Anybody who never received a vote, which means they made it to the end and then nobody voted for them to win?
Oh, I think I do know this.
I didn't know going into it, but I did find out there we have seen it happen to one person.
Was it Sugar?
It was sugar. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I knew that not because like I noticed it when we were watching, but because I heard that as a like fun trivia fact at some point after we watched Gabon. And I was like, oh yeah, that is true. That's wild.
I would guess it's probably happened in other seasons we haven't watched. But we've only, in the seasons we've watched, there's only been like 5 or 6 people who were in the finals and didn't get any votes. And so there just wasn't that many options for it. But Sugar is the one who never received a single vote. Her name was never written down.
Why did that come up in this episode?
I don't know. I just put it in my notes. I think I was just, I don't know why it popped into my head. I was just wondering, like, has anybody ever never received any votes at all? And so I did a little bit of quick research, and yeah, Sugar was one that we have seen that never received a single vote. I don't know.
I do think that there's some, like, a similar fun fact for about this season is like Brandon, who left episode 2, attended 2 tribal councils and never voted. Because he had lost his vote when he left and Hannah was acquit, so he didn't actually vote. Also, this episode 6 is the first time that Bruce has attended a tribal council in his 7 episodes of Survivor across 2 seasons, which is kind of fun. And if he had lost that vote, it would mean that he still has not ever voted, which is fun, but he did get to vote. So
he got to vote twice.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jay Maya.
I think that means that Austin has still never voted. Yeah, Austin has never voted.
Yeah, because he sacrificed a couple votes. No, he voted for Brando.
Oh, you're right, because he used his goodwill advantage to like restore his vote.
Things that are active advantages in the game. Austin and Bruce both have full idols that I think are good till final 5.
Yes.
Austin and Kelly both have amulets, but Jay Maya left with an amulet, and so that amulet has been upgraded to a steal a vote when they play it together. Still don't know exactly how that works for them to play it together, but they have that. And then Drew has the safety without power advantage, which he can play after votes have been, or no, before votes are cast.
Yes, right before votes are cast.
He just like leaves tribal council, basically.
Yes.
But that one
has a weird, I'm pretty sure that one has like a until final 9 or something like that.
Maybe, I don't know. Let's see if I can find it in my note. I don't remember when he got that.
Episode 2, I'm pretty sure. Because it was that journey with Brandon when he lost his vote.
He can leave tribal council before votes are cast, can be used until 10 people left, and then no longer after that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, final 10, which is kind of wild.
Which the preview for next week says it's going to be a double elimination.
So they'll be down to 10.
So he could use it next episode or the episode after that. Other things in the preview, Jake says he knows a Bello Reba war is coming and he needs to take control. And we hear Bruce's name and Caleb's name.
It does put, with Jay leaving, original Reba and original Bello are back to 5-5. And then with Caleb and Emily in the middle. So this war feels interesting.
Real, yeah. Although Caleb and Emily, from what we've seen, seem to be leaning Reba over Bello. But we'll see, because that could easily change.
Yeah, there is an interesting thing that I don't know if we talked about when we went through the episode, but as like a last ditch effort right before tribal council, Caleb went to people and was like, look, Bruce has an idol, like work with me here, and started telling people about Bruce's idol, which is just kind of highlights Bruce's bad gameplay here. I think of like, he trusted Caleb and Jake and Kelly and no one else that he had an idol, and then started going after one of those people pretty openly, like including fighting with Caleb like directly. And so Caleb's like, hey, I have this information, I'll be on your side. So yeah, I think that he is with Reba, but like with Reba against Bruce, I think that he would still like to work with like Jake and Kelly.
I agree with that. Fantasy wise, we need to pick an MVP of the episode.
Yeah, boy. Can I choose stick bug?
No. I mean, all right. I think.
I have two, I think. I need to decide which one I want to say. I don't love either one of them. You know what? Yeah, I do. Okay, I got it.
I don't like mine, but I can't think of a better option.
Interesting. I think that you're going to say the one that I was considering, but ended up not choosing.
Okay, I've changed my mind. Okay, 3, 2, 1, Austin.
Austin. Ooh, were you going to say Bruce?
Yeah. He got an idol. He got the vote to go to like Caleb, but I don't think he's a good player.
Yeah, so Bruce got the vote to go to Caleb and he got what he wanted there. So that's why I was considering him. But then Austin upgraded to a full idol, which is huge.
That's what
he got some revenge on his sandwiches, which is huge. And I think because of the whole shot in the dark thing, people didn't really notice that he didn't vote. Like, I don't think anyone was counting the votes. And so that kind of went under the radar also, which is great. And so I was like, both of them did good stuff this episode. Bruce, I think, also like burned some bridges where Austin didn't. So I had to vote with Austin.
It wouldn't surprise me if at least somebody noticed the amount of votes. And so they like noticed somebody else didn't vote, but it's just like too wide of a voting pool to figure it out. So it'd be a tough thing to figure out anyways.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I had the same reason. So Patrick is crushing it right now. He's like 130 points ahead of me in fantasy. He's down to 6 people left and I have 5 people left. So we'll see how that continues. Some of our season long predictions. We had a lot of action in these categories this episode. We still don't have any episode titles spoken by Jeff. Idols in the game has been up to 3. Sabaya had one that now Bruce has, and Austin has a full-fledged idol now. So was one never found on the
original Bellow Beach? No one found it.
Right. Players with emerge buff. Patrick predicted at the beginning of the season there would be 12, which is what we had. So he was correct.
When I predicted that, I was like, nah, it's going to be less. They're going to do merge story at 12. I was wrong then, but kind of right. You know, I'll take it.
Tribal councils with the tied vote. It technically, everybody voted for Caleb. So it's like, that's one person getting all the votes. Does that count as a tie? It's like if everybody's in first place, it's a tie for first place. But this is like, he's not tied with anybody. So it's not a tie.
So I would argue that it is a tie, not for your reason of one person is ahead. That's clearly not a tie.
No, but I didn't say one person is ahead. Like if everybody is in for like, it's like the sort of thing, like if everybody has 10 points, then that's a tie, even though everybody's in like the same place. So it's like he got all of the votes. So it's like, I don't know.
But wait, but it's not because Caleb got all of those. It's because all of those were negated. So all of the other 5 people were in a tie.
Oh, so it's a 0-0-0-0-0 tie?
Yeah, because like it's not like everyone had 11 votes. Just Caleb had 11 votes.
That's true.
Because those were all negated, I would say it's a tie. Like they had to do a revote because it was a 0-0-0-0-0 tie.
How many people were up for votes? 6? It was 6.
6 total, including Caleb.
I have to change that in my Votagami thing, that it's a 0-0-0-0-5-0s. Still Votagami. That's never happened. Okay. So that is a tie, which I predicted there'd be 0 ties, but Patrick predicted there'd be 3. So I'm still closest currently. There was a successful idol play, which Patrick predicted there would be 1.
Oh, so I wouldn't call that a successful idol play.
Oh, because it's a shot in the dark. Yeah, that's true. I was just like, I guess I was viewing it as like the votes were canceled out and I forgot that it was because of a shot in the dark. But we have a separate category that is shot in the dark plays. So we did have one of those, which Patrick predicted there would be 1. I predicted there'd be 5. So I've got some ways to go there.
Yeah, you do.
We did have a live tribal.
I wouldn't be surprised if more people play it because they saw it be effective.
Yeah.
And so like confirmation bias a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's not really confirmation bias, but like recency bias, maybe they'd be like more likely to play it because they saw it work.
Yeah. And then this episode had 2 unanimous votes. We first had a unanimous vote for Caleb that all got negated, and then we had a unanimous vote where everybody voted for Jamiah except for one person, and that not getting cut. So that wouldn't counted. It is surprising. So like, there was no split vote for Caleb, which there was a lot of talk on the internet about how like they should have split the vote. I understand why there doesn't end up being, because like splitting a vote makes sense, but if you can't fully trust everybody, then you don't know, like splitting could be dangerous because it's like, I don't know if we have the numbers to actually get rid of the person we have. I am kind of surprised that after they saw literally every vote get negated and they were switching to Jamiah, that there was still like no split there or something.
Why would there be? How to play the shot in the dark.
Right. But how was like Bello supposed to trust that Reba would vote for Jamiah or whatever?
But if they chose to vote against a Bello, Bello couldn't like split to save that.
That's true. I guess I
feel like split votes are usually to protect against an idol or a shot in the dark, but they're not allowed to play those on revotes. So I don't know if there was a reason to split it at that point.
Yeah.
I think I saw a lot of talk of should Emily have thrown a vote on Jamiah during the Caleb vote, or should Jamiah have thrown a vote on Emily during that Caleb vote? And I think that I could see arguments for that, but I think the correct answer was no, that like if the group had decided we're not splitting the vote, then you got to vote for Caleb and just take the 5 and 6 chance that the shot in the dark does not come up. But I do think that someone else should have thrown a vote.
Like, why take that chance when you could change, like you could make it not be a chance?
For the same thing that you were just talking about of like, then there's damage control after the fact.
Yeah, but then you like damage control means you're still in the game.
Yeah, but there's an 83% chance that I'll be in the game and not have to do damage control. And so I'd rather take the...
Yeah. I think it would have been warranted. Like, I understand why, like, not doing it because you're not sure if you have, like, the right amount of votes to make it happen. And so you don't know if you can, like, switch your vote to somebody else. But especially for such a large voting group that we had tonight, I think it's easier to hide and be like, no, that wasn't me. Like, it's harder for them to track down who was the one who changed their vote.
I guess I will amend what I said of, I think Emily made the right move, because she needs to like separate herself from Caleb a bit, but Jay probably should have thrown.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with that. Last week we predicted that Caleb would say the episode title because we already were shown that in the preview.
Oh, which and we mentioned
he's
at the
only
beginning,
one from
Canada. Yeah. Yeah. He actually says like, I'm not a vigilante. I'm not Batman. I'm just Caleb. I'm the Canadian. And like that got shortened to, I'm not Batman. I'm the
right. So they just cut out like the middle part of him saying, I'm Caleb.
Yeah, that's fair. And the beginning part of, I'm not a vigilante, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but the beginning parts and stuff after the quote, that's always cut out. Like, the quote's not always like everything they've said in that episode.
Well, yeah, but like, sure, yes. I do think that he said, like, he had a very short confessional that was those 4 statements.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was like one train of thought.
We predicted that Bruce or Sifu would get eliminated, and we were incorrect there.
I think that if Red Team had won, it would have been either Bruce or Bruce. I'm just giving us a little bit of credit there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so for sure. That's true. So we need to predict next week's episode title, which is The Thorn in My Thumb, which if it factors into your decision, the week after that is called Following a Dead Horse to Water.
Hmm. That does factor into my decision, actually.
Thorn in my thumb.
I
think Bruce is going to say that.
Damn it. I was going to say Bruce.
It's like Bruce about Caleb or Caleb about Bruce. Somebody about one of those two.
I'm going to say, I don't actually think this is true. I think it's Bruce, but I'm going to say Austin. About like the sandwiches, and he's going to try to vote out Kelly.
Kelly. Okay, okay. Trying to get rid of the other sandwich problem. So who do we...
Kelly's not going to be my boot, but I think that...
So who's going to be your boot?
Bruce.
Well, I'll pick somebody different then, even though I've picked Bruce 3 times so far and have been wrong. He has not received a single vote.
He has never been eligible to be voted for.
So am I wrong?
I mean, no, but I think that you got to give yourself a little bit of credit that
I've been so wrong. He's never even been eligible to be voted for.
Fair. Okay.
That makes it worse. Oh, who's going to get eliminated in this war? Oh, we actually should pick two people because it's going to be a double elimination.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which is going to be tough to tell because sometimes it's like they split the group in half and like, haven't they done that before where it's like half goes and eliminates somebody and then the other half goes and eliminates somebody?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's how it's going to be.
So,
that well, makes it tough. Why don't you pick one and then I'll pick my second one?
Sifu.
Damn it, that's who I was going to say.
I mean, I kind of just want to say Sifu and Bruce, but you already said Bruce.
I'm going to say Bruce.
Oh, go ahead.
And Kelly.
I'm going to say Sifu and Caleb. Because if they're in the small groups and they're trying to make a decision, it might just be like, you know what? We already all voted for Caleb. We can't decide. Let's just go for him again.
And we don't have to worry about it because he doesn't have a shot in the dark anymore.
Yeah.
So we can just make it happen. I almost said Emily there, but Emily a couple times has done some like malapropisms where she mixes up common phrases. And so I kind of think Emily is going to be the one who says,
following a dead horse to water. Yeah.
That's how it weighed into my decision a little bit.
We do have a similar situation that I think we saw last season where we have seen six people eliminated and they've all been eliminated with a different amount of votes or different amount of ways. So that's
kind of fun. That is fun.
Yeah. Three people have been voted out with three votes, but then the other votes were different amounts.
So yeah, that's kind of wild.
That streak stays alive.
Did you hear that Jeff on the On Fire podcast gave a spoiler for the rest of the season?
I did.
I was like actually a little annoyed by it. He said it very lightheartedly, and I was like, I mean, like, I know it's not a huge deal, and I wouldn't expect that, but like, I feel like you're spoiling things for me a little bit.
Yeah, but I almost read more into it of like, does something happen that's like not a quit, but kind of a quit, and he's just like saying that to throw us off the trail, or is he just like laughing it off of like, okay, I know we already had like almost two-ish quits, but there's not going to be any more.
I think it was more that. Listeners, that was maybe a little confusing. Jeff revealed that there are no more quits this season, which yeah. I am just very, very averse to spoilers. And so I was like, oh, no, thank you.
So, do you have a luxury item this week?
Sure do. I was thinking about this earlier, and now I don't remember what I was going to say.
I'm going to say soup. I've been making some soup recently. A couple weeks ago, I got a big rotisserie chicken from Costco and used that chicken for something that I can't remember right now. But I boiled the bones and scraps and stuff and made really good broth and then used that to make some really good chicken noodle soup. And that is like the best broth I've ever made. It is so good. And then a few days ago, or maybe just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I made corn chowder. That's really good.
Ooh.
It's supposed to be just with chicken broth, but I didn't have enough of that. So it was a mixture of chicken broth and veggie broth and beef broth. And it turned out really good.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I have a big container of dried mushrooms I got from Costco a while ago. So my next soup is going to be some sort of really good mushroom soup.
Oh boy, that does not sound good. But I'm just anti-mushroom. Sorry.
It's okay. You don't like good flavor. I get it.
Man, I'm really struggling with the luxury item. I'm like thinking through everything I've done for the past week.
I was excited for, I'll buy you some more time. I was excited for trick or treat this week. Our house, we hand out Capri Suns for trick or treat, and Costco sells 40 packs of Capri Suns. And I had talked to one of my neighbors and they said there's usually like 30 to 40 kids. So I bought two 40 packs just to make sure we'd have enough. And we had seven kids show up. So we now have 73 extra Capri Suns.
That's wild. Yeah, I'll jump off of the trick or treat train with that. I'm going to say Milky Ways. We have like a big thing of different candy bars. And usually I automatically go for like the Kit Kats and the Reese's. And, you know, those are great. But I've discovered a love of Milky Ways. They're great.
I'll take a Milky Way over a Reese's peanut butter cup 10 times out of 10.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. It depends on what shape the Reese cup is in.
Yeah, if it's a mini foil wrapped one, that would not be true. But for like the big ones and the orange wrappers, not as big a fan of those.
Oh, swap that for me. Far prefer the large ones.
Ratio's all off.
But yeah, the Milky Way is great. I like feel like I underappreciate it. And there's specifically like midnight Milky Ways that are dark chocolate. Man, those things are great.
How do you feel about Three Musketeers?
I'm okay with them, but not as...
I was thinking about this the other day. I don't like Three Musketeers because it's all nougat. But then I was like, I really like Charleston Chews. Charleston Chews are also all nougat, but it's like hard nougat.
I was like, wait, this Milky Way, or this Three Musketeers is just a mini Charleston Chew, I think.
Yeah, but I think Charleston Chews, I don't know if like a regular one is always harder, or we just always freeze them and we never froze. As kids growing up, we would get Charleston Chews and we would freeze them. And so then they're like rock hard when you eat them. Does that work with Three Musketeers? Maybe I should try that. I think it's a different, I think it's a different nougat consistency.
I think it is too, because I've had like, there's like theater box candies, theater candy boxes of like mini Charleston Chews. And those don't taste like Three Musketeers. Like there's something different going on there.
Yeah. Might have to do some scientific research for this.
But yeah, anyway, Milky Ways, they're great. Now, I don't know if I would like a full Milky Way. Like I feel like the fun size Milky Way is like perfect.
Yeah. It's ratios. Like I could eat like several fun size ones, but I don't think I would want a full size one.
Yeah. And similarly, like I love like a full size Snickers, but I'm not a huge fan of the fun size Snickers.
Oh, I'll take either, but Snickers is like one of my favorite candy bars. Listeners, you should email us and tell us about your favorite candy bars or whatever I suggested. Favorite soups. If you like soups, you like candy bars, you like candy soup, you email us, you let us know at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.